Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. Been a while since we chatted with you. Big Al hasn't been doing too good, but that's okay. Jimmy's doing good. Ski vacation, Jim. Going to talk a little bit about the opening on the Supreme Court. Jimmy, what do you think about that?
Well, I think that the progressives have pushed really hard. The Democratic Party's pushed really hard to get Justice Breyer to retire. There's a lot of discussion earlier about that. And of course, it doesn't change the overall dynamic of the numbers for quasi-conservatives versus liberals on the court. But what it does do is put a very interesting dynamic into this senatorial approval process, the nomination, and then, you know, Breyer won't retire until the end of this session. And then it's a nomination process, and then it's an interview process. That can take a very long time. If, according to Joe Biden, he stands true to what he said during the campaign, he has to nominate a black female. That's what he promised to do. And of course, there's a lot of pressure from progressives and some of the black caucus, especially Jim Clyburn, who basically got him elected. A lot of pressure to do that, to follow up with that. And if he doesn't, he's going to have a big problem, you know, falling back on his word certainly with the black community. But the other problem is if he picks a progressive judicial nominee, that will actually force members in the moderate wing of the Democratic Party to make a call at a very key time before this next November election, the midterm elections. So there's a lot of potential downside to this nomination process. And I don't know, you know, some of the left and a lot of the media, mainstream media, are saying, oh, this is an opportunity for Biden to turn it around. I actually think this is going to be more problematic and force a bigger division within the Democratic Party between the progressive wings and the more moderate.
Jimmy, I'm curious why you say that. Why do you say that?
Well, if the progressives want to have push more and more agendas that clearly the American people are not supporting, let's talk about open borders. Let's talk about the CRT, critical race theory, being taught in schools. Let's talk about some of the actual social issues that are out there. In particular, Roe v. Wade. Those types of issues, they're not going to change by having a liberal replaced by a liberal. But what may change is somebody that's nominated, it's on the very far left, the progressive left, you're going to have a lot more information out on those individuals, which really forces the progressives to support them and try to browbeat conservatives and moderate Democrats into getting them through. So I think there's a real problem because most Americans don't support the progressive agenda. The average American didn't vote for a progressive Joe Biden, they voted for a moderate Democrat
right.
Joe Biden. They didn't vote for a progressive, you know, aggressively progressive agenda for the United States. They wanted normalcy. They wanted to get back to a calmer, that was the idea, we'd get to a calmer, the old grandpa, you know, Joe would come back in and with the experience in Washington, things would be better. But what we're seeing here is a very different Joe Biden and his advisors in the direction they're pushing the country from what many expected, which is why the polling is so just disastrous for he and the Democratic Party.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what Joe Biden said in his press conference. He said, you know, just keep in mind I'm a moderate Democrat. I am not a socialist. Bernie Sanders is a friend of mine, but I don't agree with him politically whatsoever. You're going to see a lot of changes in my direction over the next few years.
Yeah, you know, and
is that going to happen? Is that going to happen, Jim?
No, it can't happen because the people that are keeping him in power are the ones that are advising him. He's not competent enough at this point, not aware enough to make the changes necessary to get back to a more moderate program. He's just not. It's clear. He's losing his mental capacity. He's losing his ability to think. And, of course, the decision process, with some very challenging things happening right now with, you know, Ukraine, of course, the economy, and a number of other areas, he's not capable of making those types of personnel changes and managing them. And the reality is the people that are propping him up are the very extreme left, and they've been pushing this agenda. If he backs away from them, they are going to attack him. If he starts trying to make a different change, those same aggressive progressives will be attacking him. And I think it's going to be very tough for him to make a change. I do not see anything going more positive for him in the near future. I think this is going to be a challenging event with both Breyer's nomination as well as trying to navigate the division within the Democratic Party.
Don't you think he'll have a major problem, though? Let me rephrase that. Don't you think the Democrats will have a major problem if he doesn't come out and do what he said he was going to do very specifically in that press conference about bringing the Uncle Joe back in the seat?
I do think they're going to have a very big problem.
You don't think that's possible?
I don't think it's possible for him to do it. And I also think that one thing that is very clear from this administration is they say one thing and something else happens. They do something different. Yeah. They're not trustworthy. And it's over and over and over again. So he's going to play that up. People are advising him, you got to sound more moderate. But the reality is the policies aren't going to change. And if he loses the support of the extremists in the party, he really has nothing, because the extremists, the progressives are the ones that went out and knocked on doors, that harvested ballots for him, that did some questionable things during the election in order for him to get some, you know, notion of an 81 million person vote, which is still absolutely unbelievable for me. Mm-hmm. Could have happened. But if he loses those activists, then the Democratic Party loses those activists. That means they're going to get just destroyed in the midterms, and then he'll actually face some very significant challenges.
Well, Jimmy, I would have to say that the Democratic Party in general got somewhat destroyed in the first election that came up. They certainly did, and I'm basing my comment on what happened in Seattle. Seattle is truly a bastion of progressiveness. Now, let me ask you this. What is that
I was just going to say the same thing in Virginia, and really what you almost saw in the changes in New Jersey, you know, which are, again, questionable outcomes in some of who's counting votes. But there's, you know, there is tremendous pushback with those agendas. I agree. And the local elections last year kind of were a harbinger for much more difficult challenges for the Democratic Party.
Any prediction on the next election, the minor election that's coming up?
Really what's critical and what people need to realize is they got to get involved in these primaries. They got to get the corruption out. They got to get the Republicans in name only and the aggressive progressives. They got to get them out. People have to realize that the primary is what gets people into the big game, and you want the right people in the primary. So I don't know how it's going to turn out.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot more activism by conservatives and people that are independent that have not been involved and don't really want to be involved in politics. But they're tired of their kids being left out of school because of mask mandates. They're tired of being, you know, forced of vaccinations. They're tired of being locked down. They're tired of being forced to be taught some social justice stuff and, you know, the CRT issues. They're just tired of it. And I think a lot of people are getting involved that would never have gotten involved before. And the average person is really aware that, hey, this is not a good direction for the country, not including supply chain issues, not including massive inflation issues, not including the fact that global corporations are killing it while local small businesses are being destroyed, which is 80% of our economy. So, you know, I think the Great Reset, the Klaus Schwab and World Economic Forum Great Reset is about to come to a head, and they're going to face a reckoning. And I think that's going to be just for people, populist uprising, people saying, forget it. We're done with this.
Jimmy, if we have a populist uprising, for lack of better terms, Let me ask you a question. I was having a very, very interesting political discussion last night with Jim Little, who I believe who you know, retired tenure professor from Washington University. His question to me and my answer was rather interesting. He said, you really have to wonder just how strong is the African-American community in terms of a voting bloc. What's your opinion on that?
So the African-American community is critical to the voting bloc when you get into small electoral districts based on urban density. But it's only 15% of the population, so and it's, you know, generally it's not that important. But in Democratic strongholds, it's critical. And by losing people in the black community, because they're just not getting, you know, their community is not getting better. There's a lot more crime. There's a lot more issues just in the last year.
Right.
Of course, you know, the employment rate was so high under the Trump administration. People are starting to wake up, and they're getting a lot more information. I think you're seeing the black community say, you know, a number of people coming out publicly and saying, you know what, we've been hosed over by the Democrats for a long time. So the key is really it breaks down into local district numbers in some of these, you know, very powerful Democratic urban, dense urban areas, which really drive the Democratic Party. That's where the Democratic Party gets its base. It gets it in urban areas, in, you know, L.A., in New York, in Atlanta, in, you know, those areas, which in Chicago, you know, which have, you know, if they get a good turnout, that keeps the Democrats in power. If they get a low turnout, that bodes poorly for Democrats' future.
Okay.
So they have a key element, but they're not as influential. And I'll tell you, the Hispanic community is turning very strongly against these progressive ideas.
Oh, you bet they are. You bet they are. They're a very different mindset. Yeah, very different mindset than the African Americans. Jimmy, we're up to 11 minutes and 46 seconds, damn near 12 minutes. Anything else you want to say?
Hey, just everybody out there, try and stay positive. And I've enjoyed Whitefish, Montana this week for a little ski trip, and I'll recommend coming up here anytime for anybody that's out there listening. So
there you go, Jim. Thanks for your time.
You bet, Al.